Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. Have you ever gone to church feeling like you have to pretend? People are smiling, but you feel horrible inside. Perhaps you're overwhelmed by sorrow or a sense of doom. A dark cloud looms over you while it seems the sun is shining on everyone else. Does the Bible speak to us in those times? There is a word that is rarely used in churches today that provides a biblical and practical way to respond. Lament. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, "Oh my God, I cry out day by day." Dr. Sean McDonough joins us to explain more. We pause here, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program, well, dear friend, is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know the one who loves you and knows you, yes, knows you, no matter what you're going through, where you've been, what you've done, however tough things might seem to be, dear friend, there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins, John 3:16. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. And the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Dr. Sean McDonough, is reaching out to you. Will you turn to Jesus? Would you open your heart to Christ? Would you turn from your way and turn to God's way? That's called repentance, and that's our hope. And dear friend, if you already know the Lord, well, you're going to be encouraged today. I really do believe that. Dr. Sean McDonough is a professor of New Testament at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. He arrived from Pacific Theological College in Suva, Fiji, where he served as the chair of the Biblical Studies Department, and as a lecturer in New Testament. He earned his bachelor's in history from Harvard College. His Master of Divinity and Master of Theology degrees are from Gordon-Conwell. And his PhD is from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. He's married to Ariana. They have 4 adult children. Dr. McDonough, welcome to our show.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Where did you grow up?
I was born in Boston, but grew up in Duxbury, Mass. On the South Shore.
Well, what was it like growing up in Duxbury, Mass.?
I mean, it was great. We had the beach. We had school, and I was able to do reasonably well in school. So it was really, in many ways, an idyllic childhood. Religiously, though, it's interesting. I like to say I was raised marginally Catholic, so I thought they sung "O Come All Ye Faithful" at every service. I thought it had something to do with communion, but of course it's just because we were only ever in church at Christmas time and Easter. And so actually growing up, I was the kind of the model of a New England secular kind of a person, and it wasn't until my final years of high school that things began to change at the spiritual level.
Who would you say, Sean, influenced you most in your growing up years?
You know, I think your parents shape you so much in ways you don't really understand just by being there and being a stable presence in your life. So even though you think of them as just kind of going about their business, when you begin to see some families that aren't functioning so well, you retrospectively appreciate it. So I'd have to say the sort of general environment shaped by my parents.
Well, what kind of environment did they set up for you?
I think it was affirming, you know, that they were always encouraging us that there was discipline, but not tons of pressure to succeed. Most of that kind of came from within. And, you know, growing up in the 70s, I think the thing I appreciate most was the freedom we had. I mean, it was crazy, you know. I mean, from cars without seatbelts to, you know, whoever knows whatever we'd do all day, just playing around outside, and then the sun would set, and my mom would ring a cowbell, and you'd come and have dinner or whatever. But there was just so much freedom back then. That's what I really appreciated.
Your spiritual journey, Sean, how did you become a Christian?
So, as I said, I was effectively a very secular kind of person. I couldn't quite be an atheist only because I realized I couldn't know for sure there was no God. But if, in effect, I acted as if there weren't a God. And then my junior year of high school, my brother went off to college and he came back having become a Christian. I just thought this is crazy. I remember taking the old family Bible, barely used, and opening it at random and seeing some, you know, offensive Old Testament passage and thinking, well, that's not for me. But I began to read for the next year in a lot of philosophy because I thought, well, I don't think that's the answer, but what is the answer? And the more I read, the more I appreciated these great thinkers, but they really weren't satisfying some deep yearning within me. And then senior year, just as I was set to go off to college, there was a remarkable series of events. I saw film Chariots of Fire, the story of Eric Little, the Scottish runner, and that he was a fine Christian, and it touched me deeply at an emotional place I couldn't even quite understand. But then the most extraordinary set of circumstances took place around my high school graduation there in Duxbury back in 1982. So this is 40 years ago, almost exactly. So what happened is I'd spent my whole high school life consumed with the desire to not only succeed academically, but more importantly, to be recognized for that. And there were three critical components that I was literally living my life for. One was to have my speech printed in the Duxbury Clipper, the local newspaper. So I'm sure most of your listeners have subscriptions. That was, you know, but for a small town kid, that's a big deal. To give the graduation speech outside at the lawn, the valedictorian speech, right? And then most important of all, to receive the academic awards at the graduation ceremony, because the vice principal would get up and he'd read multiple awards, but for the main academic subjects, French, English, history, whatever, they'd only give one award. So graduation rolls around. I got to be valedictorian by God's grace, though I didn't know it then. But graduation day, it rained, so they postponed it. And you know how it is when you build up to something and you think it's going to be the pinnacle of your life, and then even though it's only postponed, that emotion is gone. And so we ended up having the graduation in the Pilgrim Tennis Club in Kingston, not even in my own hometown. So I was sad about that loss of glory. It turns out the guy didn't print the speech in the paper, which they did every year, but this year they didn't for whatever reason. Maybe because I used to write kind of cheeky letters to the editor. But the most amazing thing, the lightning bolt from the sky that completely changed my life, was when the vice principal got up to read all the awards. So he's got 9 pages worth of awards to read. And so kids stand up, they sit down, they stand up, they sit down, and I'm waiting and I'm tabulating in my head all the awards that I'm going to get. And he sits down. And I'm thinking, this is my moment. And then because I'm a typically self-centered 18-year-old kid, I think, well, you know what? Maybe I got so many awards, they're going to have a special section just for me. But no, ceremony ends. We exit. We're hanging around. And then the vice principal comes up with a horrified look on his face, and he says, Sean, I'm so sorry. You got this award and this award and this award, but the pages stuck together. And I'll tell you, I don't think ever in my life have I had the experience, not even knowing God at this point, but of the heavens opening and someone whom I didn't know telling me, you have wasted your life on vanity, that rather than using what you've been given to make some positive contribution, it's just all been about yourself. And as I say, it was like a lightning bolt and completely transformed me. And then as I picked up the Bible again and read the Sermon on the Mount and read that said Jesus spoke as one with authority in contrast to the philosophers I'd been reading, I was could only say, yes, he was. And then in the next chapter, it says, come and follow me. I said, all right. and then we're off.
You're listening to Dr. Sean McDonough talking about his days in Duxbury, growing up on the South Shore, wanting to achieve great things for himself, and in a way being shut down in a very abrupt manner. When we come back, we'll talk more with Sean McDonough. Have you ever felt shut down in a way that you never expected? Did it shock you? Did it hurt you? Did you feel broken? What happened in your heart? Did your heart open up? Did you open up to things beyond yourself? Did you open up to things maybe about God and what God had planned for your life? Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Dr. McDonough. GordonConwell.edu.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Leave it to me. James 3:13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Dr. Sean McDonough edited the book, A Time for Sorrow, Recovering the Practice of Lament in the Life of the Church. Before our break, he was talking about his experience of being a near atheist growing up as a teenager and pursuing all kinds of academic accolades and being shocked in his dreams never really materializing. But then it opened up something deeper within him. His heart opened up to the Lord Jesus Christ through the influence and witness of his brother Alex, who has been used by God in tremendous ways as a pastor. But Sean today, as a scholar, as a professor at Gordon Conwell, professor of New Testament, sits with us to share heart to heart with you about facing some trying moments. In fact, certain times they are indescribable moments of life. You can find out more about him and his teaching and the program there at gordonconwell.edu. Sean, you did mention something that struck me. You talked about chariots of fire. And I saw something in your face as you mentioned the movie. What was it about that movie, Eric Little, that touched you so deeply?
Yeah, and funnily enough, when I had forgotten this, but when I gave the valedictorian speech, it was about Chariots of Fire, and particularly the scene where Eric Little, it's earlier in the film, he's in a race and he falls down and he's so angry and determined, he gets up and almost kills himself but wins the race. And so that was sort of an inspirational moment. But there's an even more touching moment later on when he doesn't race on Sunday. He's in church reciting from the prophet Isaiah, as the British say, Isaiah. And it's showing one of his fellow British teammates falling and just being unable to get back up. But it's that wonderful verse that the Lord, even when we're our strength is gone, he will help us to mount on wings like eagles. This wonderful text and the juxtaposition of this British guy, dirty and broken and rain falling down on him, and this beautiful text. It moved me in ways I couldn't describe.
Harold Abrams stumbling and Eric Little preaching, sharing. Well, Sean, That movement, that stirring in your heart, can you talk a little bit about how God used that to catapult you to the aspirations that grew in you for the purposes of God?
Yeah, so one of the funny things that emerged out of this, I'd been consumed with academic success, and I remember reading Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, and talking about the foolishness of worldly wisdom, which I sort of half understood. Unfortunately, going off to undergraduate studies, I took it to mean, don't worry too much about it. I couldn't help but love learning. And so when I was there at Harvard, I loved the history, and I took courses on African history and Japanese art, and all. So I did enjoy it, but I didn't necessarily apply myself as diligently as I might have. And it was coming to Gordon Conwell after I'd worked at McLean Hospital in Belmont, a psychiatric hospital, because I felt I wanted to do ministry, I wanted to help people, but I realized that for me that meant a freedom to share the word, because that's just what I'm competent at, right? I was okay helping the patients there, but it wasn't really what I was gifted in. And so I thought, well, I'll just go off to Gordon Conwell and get a degree, because you have to get a degree to do ministry. So I'll try to find the shortest one possible, but they're all the same length. So I went up to Gordon Conwell, and from the first moment I was in the classroom, I realized that yes, worldly wisdom is not to be sought after, kind of a proud, boastful defiance of God by what we know. But using our mind to love God and to serve him, that was a new path that opened up. And I just sat in every seminary class and thought, I just love this. And I realized that was the way I could serve God, just as people can serve God in so many different ways. But for me, going to seminary, becoming a seminary professor, teaching the Bible was just a wonderful way to take gifts that now had been lying to the side try to use them in God's service.
Your sensitivity to people in view of the service for God. Why do you feel it's important today? We're circling back to A Time for Sorrow, the book you edited. Why is it important for the church to rediscover the practice of lament?
I mean, one of the wonderful things about teaching the Bible is if you discipline yourself to listen to what it says rather than what you think it ought to say or what you'd like it to say, you begin to see things that you haven't seen before. So much of contemporary church life in America is so positive. The songs and the messages, it's just this kind of relentlessly upbeat sort of a message. And absolutely, there's so much in the New Testament about being joyful, about being hopeful, about not being discouraged. And yet, you can begin to get the idea that if you are feeling hopeless or discouraged or sad, that somehow you're sinning against God. And yeah, maybe that was acceptable in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, surely we're just meant to rejoice in our victory in Jesus. And yet, as I began to delve a little deeper into the New Testament, I see things like the fact that Jesus wept. I see Paul lamenting in Romans 9 that his fellow Jews aren't believing, and it just tears him apart. And perhaps the most powerful example, well, the second most powerful example is in the letter to Philippians, where Paul repeatedly tells the Philippians to rejoice all the time. Well, in that very same letter, he talks about the fact that when his friend Epaphroditus was near death, he prayed because he essentially told God that that's just too much. I've already got so much sorrow in my heart that this would be one too many. It would just break me. So please spare him, Lord. And God did spare him. But of course, the most important example of all is Jesus himself on the cross crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's not because he doesn't believe. Moments later, he'll say, into your hands I commend my spirit, or entrust my spirit. But it's because he does experience the anguish of God forsakenness himself and cries out, taking our sin upon himself, taking the whole old world and its burdens and its brokenness into his own body, he cries out with the same pain that we cry out with. And in the book of Revelation, we see that he has those scars still, even in heaven. He's still the Lamb who was slain. And so he identifies with our sorrow. And bringing our sorrow to him is a way of getting deeper into fellowship with him. We think it's creating distance between ourselves and God because we imagine he's just up there in perfect glory and joy and splendor. But he remembers his life experience and his death experience. That's part of his life memory. And so he invites us to share with him in that. And the Psalms in particular are there to help us give voice to our deep sorrows. It's not as if we can fool God anyway. Right? If you're grieving, he knows. So accept his invitation to lament, because that's often the way forward.
We need to move deeper into this, Sean, because when you talk about the freedom to lament, the opportunity to open up before God, it makes me question why didn't suffering nullify the apostles' view of the lordship of Christ? One would think, if Jesus is Lord, then, you know, why would I be suffering? Some might even be thinking that today as they listen to us. Perhaps even in their coming to Christ, they had this notion that all will be well. I mean, once I say the prayer, the quote-unquote good luck prayer, as it were, it's almost like a talisman, that my life will be pain-free, that all will be well. And yet, the apostles saw things a bit different. Would you speak a little bit more about that when we come back from our break?
Absolutely.
You're listening to Dr. Sean McDonough. He is a professor of New Testament at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. You can find out more about him and his works at gordonconwell.edu. He's the author or editor of these books, A Time for Sorrow, Creation, and New Creation. When we come back from our break, you'll hear more from him. Christ as Creator, Cosmology and New Testament Theology, and Yahweh at Patmos. Dr. Sean McDonough, gordonconwell.edu. My friend, are you wondering why things have gone the way they've gone for you? Are there bumps in the road? Have you been hit by roadblocks or stopped by barriers? Suffering? Are there reasons? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A little girl was crying one day. A police officer saw her and said, "Why are you crying?" The girl said, "I'm lost." He said, "Do you have your parents' phone number?" She said, "No." She started to sob even more. "Do you have their address?" "No," she said. And suddenly her face changed. Her eyes lit up. The police officer inquired, "What happened?" She said, "I remember. Near my house, there's a church. And at the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, today, will you turn to the cross of Christ, where Jesus shed his blood? He was buried, yes, but he rose again from the grave. The redemptive love of Christ, who died for your sins, his arms outstretched for you today. Would you turn to Jesus, turn to the cross, and receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord?
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
So we are talking about lament. Lament in the Bible, lament in the New Testament. Dr. Sean McDonough, professor of New Testament at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, joins us today. Find out more about him and his work at gordonconwell.edu. Look, if you're tuning in right now, or maybe caught the tail end of the last segment and are wondering, hey, how can I get this program in its entirety? Good news. It's a gift. Just go to drdanny.live, podcast available for you. But I would say, go ahead and share it with a family member or a friend. Sean, back to suffering. Why did suffering hardly nullify the apostles' confidence in Christ's lordship?
Yeah, and we'll stick with Paul, who wrote the most letters in the New Testament, and really it's all over his letters, but it's especially important in 2 Corinthians, because the Corinthian congregation had that mentality that if you were really a child of God, you would prosper. And so there were plenty of eloquent, rich people, it would appear, coming through Corinth, proclaiming a gospel somewhat or radically different from Paul, and kind of saying, well, if Paul were such a great apostle, why does he suffer? And Paul spends most of 2 Corinthians, one way or another, answering that question. And in essence, I think the key for Paul is that those sufferings of Christ in love for the world are then embraced, particularly by the apostles, particularly by Paul, that his suffering on behalf of the Corinthians to bring them the gospel is his gift of love to them. Now, I think it's also implicit and sometimes explicit that that model is something that Paul wants all Christians to follow in measure, right? We don't have the spectacular transformative ministry of Paul writing half the New Testament, and so we don't necessarily suffer as much as he does, but in our own way, we sacrifice for others. So it's not seeking suffering for the sake of suffering. It's embracing it as a way to serve others. And I do think he sees it as a way of drawing closer to Christ. We think, oh, again, because Jesus is in glory in heaven and powerful and almighty and all the rest of it, that if we want to draw close to him, we need to be more powerful, more successful, more wealthy. But in fact, as one of my old professors used to say, the way up is the way down, that it's embracing the challenges of life, the difficulties, the suffering that equally brings us near to Jesus. Because, as I said, his suffering is a formative part of his whole experience of being who he is. And so as we don't seek out suffering for its own sake, but when suffering meets us, misunderstanding, misfortune, as we call it, we can see that as a way of walking in the way of Jesus. And particularly thinking of parents having raised four children, you got kids, you got troubles. We know that. They're such a blessing. They enrich your life, but it brings challenges. And yet you know in the core of your being that you've got to be there for them, even though you don't want to get up at 3 in the morning to go to the pharmacy and get them medicine. And you don't want to have to agonize with waiting up for them when they get their license in high school. But you're imitating Christ by sacrificing for the benefit of others, and therefore you really are going deeper into life with him.
In the imitation of Christ, this discipline, this practice, Sean, how does that practice bring us closer to God?
One of my favorite theologians is a German fella from the, he might be Swiss, they'll be sad. Anyway, Hans-Urs von Balthasar is his name. But he recognized that on the one hand, it's certainly true that God is unchanging, almighty, dwelling in eternal bliss, all the things we rightly confess. But he realized that if Jesus is who God is, and Jesus is who God is, then the suffering he endures on earth can't be a completely new sort of a thing for him. There must be within the eternal God something corresponding to suffering. We're getting a little, into the theological depths here, but it's kind of necessary when we ask a question, how does suffering bring us closer to God? That there is something about that space that's created in our suffering that corresponds to a deep mystery in the very heart of God. Again, if we want to keep it simpler, Jesus, who is God, suffers on earth. And so to enter into suffering is somehow mysteriously to enter into who God is.
You touched on this earlier, but let's expand a bit. How did Jesus lament? We're talking about imitating Christ.
Right.
How did he do it?
I think we see it in a couple of ways. First of all, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he would prefer, humanly speaking, to not be betrayed by his friend, to be abandoned by his other friends, to be humiliated in the face of all people by crucifixion, to suffer the physical agony, and to be, in some mysterious way, abandoned by God. He would prefer not to have that happen. And so he brings that painful reality of what he's facing before God. And yet he's made a commitment to do what God wants, not what he wants, what would be preferable for him, but what is actually preferable for others. And then, as I said, on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I think one of the most amazing little words in the Bible comes in Philippians 2, 5 to 11, when it says Jesus humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. And then it says, and God highly exalted him. And we always think, but God highly exalted him. But look at your Bibles carefully. It says, therefore, God highly exalted him. Therefore, God highly exalted him. And it's Jesus' suffering on the cross in love that most clearly display the fact that he is who God is. And I have a wonderful story from Hawaii, if we can bring it from my home to your home. So Ariana, my wife, came to faith and grew up in the faith at Pearl City Community Church. And one of the pillars of the church there is a Hawaiian guy, Walter Kava'a. I don't know if you know Walter. Wonderful, wonderful guy. And the story I'll never forget, and we'll teach your listeners a little bit of Hawaiian here if you haven't already told them. When Walter, well, he's now just a big, generous, lovable, loving Hawaiian guy. But once upon a time, he was a little Hawaiian boy growing up on Oahu. And like many Pacific Island families, as I learned in Fiji, they had family devotions every night. And part of the family devotions was the memory verse. You're supposed to memorize a verse. Well, you're out there and there's the sand and the sun, and it's easy for a little Hawaiian boy to forget to do his memory verse. But there was good news. There was one verse you could say as your memory verse. Just remember one verse or part of one verse, and it would get you off the hook. And it's Aloha Ke Akua from 1 John. Aloha Ke Akua. God is love. Aloha, hello, goodbye, but that sense of well-being and welcome and love that is who God is. Ke Akua, the article K. One of my sons is Ke Anu, the cool one. Ke Akua, God. God is love. That's the one thing you had to remember in the Kava'a household. And isn't it the one thing you need to remember for everybody? Aloha Ke Akua. And that's why Jesus on the cross, in his suffering for us, shows the full extent of God's love, God's aloha, and therefore that is his absolute demonstration that he is who God is. So,
beautifully said. Beautifully said, Sean. And we come back to not just suffering, but the love of God. Suffering within or enveloped in the love of God. You're listening to Dr. Sean McDonough. His heart touches us. His research interests include creation, cosmology in the Bible, and the Near East Hellenistic Judaism. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk more with him. He speaks and shares stories. They're personal stories. He's mentioned his wife, Ariana. He's talked about his beloved Hawaii and my beloved Hawaii. When we come back, we'll talk about suffering, but light, the light of Christ piercing our darkest moments with hope. So there's hope, okay? Hope now. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you. Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A little girl was crying one day. A police officer saw her and said, "Why are you crying?" The girl said, "I'm lost." He said, "Do you have your parents' phone number?" She said, "No." She started to sob even more. "Do you have their address?" "No," she said. And suddenly her face changed. Her eyes lit up. The police officer inquired, "What happened?" She said, "I remember. Near my house, there's a church. And at the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, today, will you turn to the cross of Christ, where Jesus shed his blood? He was buried, yes, but he rose again from the grave. The redemptive love of Christ, who died for your sins, his arms outstretched for you today. Would you turn to Jesus, turn to the cross, and receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord?
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
So Dr. Sean McDonough, his research interests continue, Greek philosophy and religion and the book of Revelation. But he also loves supporting Boston's sports teams, spending time with his family, traveling and hiking. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for sharing your precious time with us and joining in this conversation. Before our break, we're talking about suffering, Christ's suffering, and being enveloped in the love of God in the midst of suffering and drawing near to God through that. These are words, of course, but how does it flesh out? How do we live through that? How does the light of Christ pierce our darkest moments with hope? Sean, how does suffering and God's love relate in your life?
Yeah, and I think one of the things I've learned is from the very beginning of the Bible, when it takes 6 days, whether you take them literally or not, whatever, God takes his time. And so I think we often want an immediate relief from suffering, but as I mentioned, we have four kids, and you go through all sorts of things, and sometimes that things you wish would change don't change for a long time, and so there can be just a lot of weeping and a lot of waiting, and we can't expect that there's some magic formula that if we just said this prayer, or we just read this verse, or we just did this or that or the other thing, that somehow instantly things would be better. But God takes his time. And so, yes, we want to pray. Yes, we want to read scripture. We want to get encouragement. We can get counsel. We can get all those things. But God takes his time. And sometimes you just have to wait. And it could take weeks or months or years before any given difficult situation resolves itself. And so that's why when the Bible talks about patience as a virtue, it's not as interested in your ability to be unruffled when things are troubled, somebody's yelling at you. That's a great virtue, but it's really long suffering in a very literal sense. So I think recognizing that God takes his time has been the most helpful thing through the many ups and downs we've experienced in life. I remember back in Fiji, when my son Keanu was born, the doctors detected a tumor on my wife's side. And we delivered the baby, and then he said, I got the tumor out. And in fact, we thought it was a cyst up to this point, but it was in fact a tumor. And I just remember almost fainting, you know, and then movies, people faint when they get bad news. I almost fainted, and I just wandered around because it's slow to do a pathology report. For a week, I was wondering, what is my future, if anything, and could only cast myself upon God's mercy. And that was a week we got the report. It was negative, so we could move on. But boy, that was a really tough time. I so treasured the support of the Pacific Island staff, the principal of the school, Jovili Mayo, and just a wonderfully supportive community. That's important, to lean on others, not to keep it bottled up in and of ourselves. But ultimately, we just had to wait. And in that case, it was good news.
Someone today is in a similar spot. They might be feeling like a trapeze artist in a moment of suspended animation. And they too might feel wandering. How long? Oh, Lord God, how much longer do I need to wait? The anxiety is overwhelming. Sean McDonough, will you pray for someone in a similar spot who was there where you were, and pray a prayer intercessory on their behalf, and in a way also for the support of others, as you experienced, you and Ariana experienced, people coming around them and comforting them during this time?
Yes, let's pray. Lord, you are the God of all comfort, and yet we know there are people out there right now who can't sense that. They can't feel it. Their life is just too difficult. And so we pray that you would give them long-suffering. You would give them patience through their trial, that you would give them a strength that they can't account for or couldn't conjure up on their own. We pray that you would give them insight and encouragement from your word. And particularly, Lord, help them to see both the suffering of Jesus on their behalf and the deliverance as you raised him to eternal life and seated him at your right hand. May that hope be theirs, Lord, this day, that your Spirit would minister to them, that even if the circumstances don't change. We do pray in your almighty power that you might deliver those who are suffering. But until that happens, Lord, give them hope. Give them a light on the horizon so that they can continue to move forward in your strength for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. A prayer for you, dear one. The Lord sends Dr. Sean McDonough to remind you that you're not alone, and that there are others who are going to stand by you. Open up your heart to them. Let the pride go down. Let your heart open up to what the Lord will do and who he will bring into your life at this time. Receive that as his gift and his touch. Sean, you're a part of the Cambridge Roundtable on Science and Religion. You're speaking at an event coming up. Can you say a little bit more about this event and what's the setup? What are you going to talk about, and what do you expect?
So the roundtable is a wonderful forum in which faculty from universities can gather and speak about matters of faith and science, and it's a wonderful and rare opportunity to get people who have very different perspectives gathering around a common topic. And so the one coming up November 1st is on immortality. And so we'll have faculty from MIT and Harvard and BU and all over the Boston area gathering to think about that. We've got an astronomer who's talking about that sort of dimension of immortality, of constellations and whatnot. Kind of MIT all-around genius and author thinking through questions of, so to speak, manufacturing immortality through technical means, and he's got some wonderful insights there. And then I'm making a basic point that I think the Christian teaching on the resurrection of the body is actually better for science than what's sometimes put forward as an alternative, namely the immortality of the soul as a kind of, you know, general idea that you just die and go to heaven. Resurrection of the body, I think, is good for science, even though it seems a little crazier than immortality of the soul.
So, Sean, I'm not going to ask you to divulge everything and steal your thunder.
Yeah.
But I'm just feeling for someone who's listening and saying, Danny, ask him to just give me a little bit more on this so I can be a bit more satisfied in hearing what he's sharing.
Absolutely. In a nutshell, when you focus only on the soul, the invisible part of the person, there's a strong tendency to, at that point, kind of wish the whole world away, that matter doesn't matter, things don't matter, that all that matters is your soul. But God is the creator of all things. He's made it all, and he wants it all back for his glory. And so when we affirm the resurrection of the body, we're affirming the goodness of creation, which means investigating it scientifically, learning to work with it is a good thing, and it can be honoring to God when done for his glory.
Taking a few steps back, Sean McDonough, why is it important in this particular time, in the unfolding of human history? You love the study of history, a historian in your own right. But why is it important now to have space for discussions like these from varying perspectives?
Well, I think we can helpfully tie this back in to the suffering and really tie the loop here, that it can be frustrating for Christians to look at the crazy things people believe and do nowadays. And to someone like me or yourself or a little older, that it just seems like it's spinning out of control. And there's almost a desire to just kind of give up and huddle together as Christians and not reach out. But one of my favorite stories in the Bible is all about the fact that Jesus is not concerned with where you've been, but where you're going. And it's the story of the man born blind in John 9. And again, unfortunately, like seminary students like myself, when the apostles see, the disciples see this man born blind, they say, oh, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And one of the most beautiful things in all Jesus' ministry, with so many beautiful things he does, is he just refuses to frame the question that way. He doesn't care. He doesn't say yes or no, and he doesn't explain why suffering exists. He's just there to say, we're going to move forward with the recreative power of God. Doesn't matter where you've been, it's where Jesus can take you. And so these forums are, in essence, a sign of faith and hope that wherever people have been, whatever they believe now, Jesus has the power and love and willingness to lead them forward, just as he did with the blind man.
Sean McDonough, thank you so much for being with us today, sharing your heart, sharing your mind, sharing the love of God.
It was an absolute pleasure.
Hope-filled words from Dr. Sean McDonough, gordonconwell.edu. Hope-filled words from Dr. Sean McDonough, gordonconwell.edu. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. If you haven't done so, look, I believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there. To join our prayer team or partner with us financially, again, go to drdanny.live. And I want to thank you in advance. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace, Jesus said. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dr. Sean McDonough, gordonconwell.edu. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, 9th Avenue Studio, and guest coordinator, Jan Yee, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.